That particular day, I didn't have time. I had lunch with some girlfriends that day. I left lunch, was like, gotta go home, bake a cake, cook dinner, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta get ready for the evening. I didn't have some eggs. I was baking a cake and I didn't have eggs. So I was like, I'm gonna run to the supermarket. So instead of going online, I was like, I'll call the number to ask for the flight number. And when the representative answered the phone, I was like, what time does flight 314 arrive, you know, from whatever city? And they took a pause and the guy came back. I think it was a male, if I can recall, it was a male. It was like, can you give me the name on the itineraries? And I was like, no, I gave you the flight number. Why do you need the names? He came back, was like, could you give me the name on the itinerary? And I was like, no, I'm not giving you the name. I gave you the flight number. I was like, if I wasn't on the phone, I could Google this and get the same information. Just give me what time's the plane landing? He was like, could you give me a name? So when I gave the name, they came back with two names. Now, I know people who work for the airlines. They was like, there's no way that should have happened. They was like, that was God. That was God. And even when that happened, I was still sitting there. I was sitting in the parking lot of Kroger like, this can't be real. Like, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? Like, no, this has to be a mistake. This has to be a mistake. And I still thought it was. Even after all of that, I thought it was still a mistake. But I'm a former police officer. It took me a while. I was still kind of in a state of shock. But the next day, I started doing some investigating and everything the rep from the airlines told me it was true. And there was so much evidence of everything that, you know, what that flight indicated. So, yeah, there was a change. I'll just say that there was a big change. So all of it was God inspired. Everything was God inspired now that I look back at it, because there was a change. Amen. So remember, it was a Delta. So that meant it was a change. A change was coming. Amen. So
listen, after the shock wore off of everything, right? What is the hardest question that you had to ask yourself? Not about him, but about you. Like, to yourself, what were your inner thoughts?
I asked myself who I was again. I didn't know who I was, because for so many years, I relied on someone else to do everything for me, to even think for me in instances. Not that I didn't have my own thoughts and ideas.
But moved as a unit.
Yes. And I considered someone else's thoughts.
The two became one.
So the most difficult part was coming back to me, because I didn't know who I was. Even when I was moving on, you talk about survival and healing. When I purchased my home, I didn't even know. I had friends to go shopping with me, and I was like, I don't know what to buy. And, you know, they were like, well, you need a sofa. And I'm like, but yeah, I don't know if that's the right sofa, or if that's the right bed, or if this is the right table. So everything, they were like, what do you like? Do you like that? And I was like, well, what do you like? You know, and they were like, what do you like? And I was like, I couldn't say I don't know what I like anymore. So I would be like, well, I would come up with something so they could help me.
I didn't know what I liked.
I didn't know what I liked, didn't know who I was. I didn't. So that bothered me, because it was like, you've done a disappearing act. You don't even know who you are anymore, at the core of who you are. You know, I trusted and put everything toward this one thing, and I just didn't know who I was anymore. And that made me cry, because it was like, you lost yourself. You lost yourself. And I never thought I would be the person who could lose myself.
What did that feel like?
That's a horrible feeling. You know, it is a horrible feeling. I felt like I was being a baby again, you know, where an infant needs to be cared for and guided. And I thought, after all these years, I am at that time 56 years old. I don't know which way to turn, which way to go. It was tough. So there were days where I laid in bed and was like, I don't know where to go. And I promise you, God would speak to me. He did. He would tell me, you're going to be okay. He was like, stop depending on the world. start focusing on me. Because even when I found everything out, Jessica, and I loved my friends, and there were friends who were afraid for me. And I was afraid too, because it was like, I have not worked in forever. You know, I depended on someone else for in that moment, and I depended on them for my future. You know, you're 56 years old. Were you going to go and find a job? You know, you have those things that play in your mind, like, will I ever be in another relationship? And I wasn't even really thinking relationship at that time, because I was still in one.
Yeah.
But you think about those things like, I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life.
Thought.
Yeah, I had human thoughts like, ain't nobody looking for no 56-year-old woman out here now. That's what I was looking. You know, I was thinking that. And I'm thinking, I'm older. I'm not as attractive anymore. Like, I don't have any of that going on. Like, who am I? What am I now?
Babe, cut close to Gail. Y'all, look at this beautiful woman, okay? Because she does not look 56.
No, I'm 60 now.
It was, I mean, but I'm 60 today, but in general. Yeah. You don't even look 60.
Well, thank you. You're being too kind.
No, I'm not.
You're being kind.
I'm being honest.
So.
Listen, there are a lot of people that are 56 and 60, and they look like it. Some people are 60 and look older.
Well, maybe I come from really good genes or something.
You do.
So, yeah, but that is, you know, I'm being very...
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, on Hardly Initiated, we talk a lot about leveling up financially, mentally, and spiritually, but there is a reality that we have to face. Financial stress can affect us way more than we realize. It's not just about what's in your bank account. It's about the toll that money worries can take on your mental health and your relationship. In fact, at the start of 2026, roughly 88% of Americans reported feeling some form of financial stress. It brings on anxiety, it disrupts your sleep, and for many couples, it's one of the leading sources of conflict. I've realized that struggling with money or feeling overwhelmed by it doesn't mean that you failed. Sometimes it's about the beliefs we grew up with or just trying to figure it all out on our own. It's something important to remember that therapy isn't for financial advice. It's for managing stress, shame, or anxiety that comes with those financial hurdles. It helps you unpack your relationship with money and build healthier coping strategies so you don't feel alone in the process. What I appreciate about BetterHelp is that they make the process of finding support simple. They have over 30,000 therapists who are fully licensed in the United States and follow a strict code of conduct. When you sign up, you'll fill out a short questionnaire, and their therapist match commitment means that they do the work to find the right fit for your specific needs and goals. They've served over 6 million people globally, and if you ever feel like your match isn't quite right, you can switch to a different therapist at any time. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up now and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/HardlyInitiated. That's BetterHelp.com/HardlyInitiated.
Free transparent. That's not a good feeling, you know, and that you have to depend on someone for everything. That was tough getting back into that, to go purchase my first car or a car on my own, because I took comfort in knowing that I had someone that I could depend on, and I could lean on. And I thought it was both ways. I thought that went both ways. Mm-hmm. And once it's just you out there by yourself, you feel like you're in a world all by yourself.
Yeah.
You do. You feel like you're in a whole world all by yourself,
yeah.
You know? But I soon realized I wasn't, because I had my support system was out of sight, from my girlfriends to my guy friends. You know, it was unbelievable.
The stories of your actual feelings, it was great where you talked about, like, your mom and her, you hearing her and the words that she said. That's another reason I wanted to do this interview, because there are so many women that just don't. It's like, biblically, the Bible does tell us, hey, guys, cling, your husbands leave your wives. Husbands leave your parents and cling to your wife.
Yeah.
Your wife needs to honor, you know, your partner, submit to your husband, all of these different things. But like, when you fully show yourself submissive and all these different things, and then a person could just take your entire livelihood from you, with a decision.
With the decision that they made and that they have been planning, you have no idea.
And then not even have remorse for it. It's like, what do you do in that moment, you know?
Yeah, you lose yourself. It is easy to lose yourself. I was telling, when I was talking about surviving and healing, when I first found everything out, I remember my girlfriend, I had great friends who supported me, but I had some who were afraid and they were doubting and who said, you're 56, you haven't worked, you know, what are you going to do now? And their advice was, just get you a boyfriend and keep living the way you live. And they were like, the house, the cars, you have this lifestyle. And I remember looking at them like, I'm not saying that I'm a chicken head, but that's like some chicken head kind of stuff. I'm not a chicken head. And, you know, I may not have the big house anymore. I may not drive a Rolls Royce anymore. I may not be a part of the country club anymore. But so must I sell myself? Must I sell my soul for these things? And I remember that's when God came to me and was like, I got you. Stop listening to the world. He was like, block all of that out. Why would you do that? And I was like, that's not what a relationship or a marriage looks like, that two wrongs gonna make a right. Two wrongs don't make a right. So I was like, I should not do that. And it didn't feel good. And I'm looking at for women that I thought was like, women that I looked up to that had some stature. And I'm like, so you would do that? Because you're like my mentor and I'm looking at you. And I'm like, so this is happening more than I thought. And I'm not judging anyone. Mm-hmm. We all have to do what we think is best for us, you know, and to get set up for the right time. But sometimes for such a time as this, I think that was Queen Esther said, mm-hmm. at this time in that moment for me, I could not. I was like, I'm going to depend on God. Mm-hmm. I can't play this game and go. And not that I wanted to be with someone else. No, I didn't even know who I was at the time. So I was like, I have to get me right first. Mm-hmm. I want to get myself right with God. I was like, it's in the end, that's who I'm going to have to answer to is him. I got to answer to him. So I was like, I can't do that. And no matter where I lay my head, I know that he had me covered. And that's when that verse from Psalms 91 came into play where he was like, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to cover you. And everything you lost, everything you thought you lost, you'll recover. And he has. I have a roof over my head. I got a car. I still have my health. I'm coming back to me. I still have my friends. I still have my family. I am loved. And I know that God loves me with all my flaws, with all my imperfections, because none of us are perfect. And I'm not perfect either. And will I say that I did everything right in any relationship? I don't know. I did the best that I could, though. I did the best that I thought I was doing. You know, always. I always looked to put others first. And that's what I was always told in the Bible. It was like, esteem others more highly than yourself. Mm-hmm. I did that. You know, I did. Was it wrong? I don't think that it was wrong. Mm-hmm. Should I have looked for some things? Maybe I should have. But I never wanted to be that person. I always wanted to be free indeed. Not free, because there is something, there's a difference between being free and there's being free indeed.
Come on.
And I wanted to be free indeed. And I thought that the way that I live my life and the way that I function in my relationship, you know, in my home with my friends, that I was always free. I wanted to be free and I wanted those people to be free too. We could be ourselves. But I didn't want to turn into someone that I was not just for the sake of things, because things come and go. And at the end of the day, Jessica, yeah. I only can answer to God in the end. The house ain't coming with me.
There's nothing under the sun.
None of that is coming with me. And when I cried those tears, I realized that none of that, the house couldn't comfort me. The fur coats didn't come and dry those tears. The cars didn't comfort me. Nothing comforted me. And people think that things are what makes life. It's not. What? I consider taking my own life inside of my 10,000 square foot mansion. And I had all that and all the things that people think they are striving for and working for, they're great, but keep it in perspective.